Shall we begin today with one word at a time?
Yes, please.
What word?
Would you like to choose a word today?
Samadhi.
Oh, good. Satipatthana.
No, Jan has chosen samadhi.
Because we have heard a lot about samadhi, like samadhi sampochang and so on. So I think that in order to understand life as realities, no being at all, so what exactly is samadhi? It is the reality which is cetasika, the mental factor, which arises with each citta. That's why one citta can experience only one object at a time, because it is tangman, nai arom. It fixed only on one object at a time. So whatever arises with it, citta and the other cetasikas also share the same object as citta, which can experience only just one object at a time. And it is the reminder for now. Seeing is not hearing at all. Otherwise, no one can see that realities are not self at all. They are conditioned to arise and fall away in split seconds. No one knows at all until the Buddha enlightenment that he taught us to understand the truth. He didn't tell anyone to do this or that, but it's like sharing or helping the others to understand whatever appears now, any moment in life. So we understand that each moment must have ekakata cetasika, because ekakata cetasika fixes on one object each moment, but the object is changed from seeing to hearing to thinking all the time. That's why the arising and falling away of citta, experiencing one object, cannot be known, the reality which fixes on an object at each moment. And that is not yet samadhi, because it changes its object all the time from different doorways, until one object that citta fixed on quite frequently or more and more, until the characteristic of samadhi appears. Khanika samadhi and upajara samadhi and apana samadhi. Usually now it is not other level of samadhi except the ekakata cetasika, which is now arises with citta, which sees, which hears, which thinks, until the moment when some say that, oh, I am concentrated. It means that it's not known as the self, but one concentrates on an object, so one knows it now. I'm reading, don't disturb me, or whatever. The characteristic of ekakata cetasika begins to appear, but as self, because no understanding of that as not self at all. But in the Buddha's time, people who see the danger of attachment to whatever appears in life through the five senses, we cling very, very much to everything. That's why even the ditti is completely eradicated. The clinging to the sensuous object is still there. It cannot be eradicated at all without right understanding from being a sotapanna until it develops to the stage of sakatagami and then to anagami. So one can see that the clinging to the sensuous object is so great, enormous. How can we get rid of it? People tried and tried very hard before the Buddha's time to get rid of attachment to sensuous object. That's why some went to the forest and some had different kinds of practice, because of seeing the danger of attachment. So no other way at all. No matter who tried and tried so hard, like living simply, okay, it can be accumulated to be conditioned for living that way. In order to understand that no self at all, there are only different accumulations of a period or a succession of citta from moment to moment. That's why we are different. Even sometimes we like to live alone, or sometimes we like party or whatever. It's there, collected, accumulated deeply in the citta, that is so much that it cannot show up, all of them at once. Only when time comes or when there are right conditions for whatever arises, it arises. But still, ignorance is there, attachment is there. The hindrance, like the black curtain or whatever we can see, that is so very amazing that no one can understand it as it is without the enlightenment of the Buddha, because it's now, just now. So the development of understanding must be very, very natural. Otherwise, it's changed by wrong understanding, which we call silapata brahmasa. That makes it not as normal as usual by conditions. That's why now, seeing now is conditioned, hearing now is conditioned, each moment is conditioned. No one at all. And samadhi is there with kusala citta, akusala citta, vipaka citta, kriya citta. Whenever what citta arises, samadhi is there, but it does not appear as samadhi until people have different ideas and they practice differently by different ways of what they call, but they are all silapata brahmasa because of wrong view. So now, what kind of samadhi? Is there samadhi right now? Ekakata cetasika is so very little that its characteristic does not appear as samadhi. It's just a moment of experiencing an object. So there's so much to know, so much to learn, so much to understand, so much to develop. Just to understand. Not for anyone at all. So panya, right understanding, will lead to all kusala. No matter when, even in one's life, at moment of thinking about problems, it's there. And samadhi is not panya, because it cannot understand. Whatever appears, each reality, it has its own characteristic, its own function, its own manifestation, and its own proximate cause. They are different, they cannot be the same. Even they are sometimes very similar, but not the same. So now there are only different realities. When you dislike someone, you dislike his eyes or his ears or his nose. Whatever, just appear very shortly, how short it is. It has to be the highly developed panya which can experience what we have heard. Otherwise, Buddha wouldn't say any word at all. If there wouldn't be anyone who can understand his word and follow his word very carefully with detachment from the very beginning, not from me, because there's no I at all. Only just the development of the tattoo, the element, which has been accumulated for quite a long, long, long time. So one can understand what type of citta at moment of speech and deeds. Otherwise, who knows?
And talking about samadhi, one thing for sure is in the examples you gave, like when one's concentrating on reading a book or in the kitchen or focused on something and the concentration appears, the samadhi appears, but at those times for sure when it appears,
it is Mitya Samadhi because it's the concentration of attachment.
With akusala.
Yeah. But when it seems apparent in our normal activities, it's nearly always the akusala.
I suppose in terms of coming to know the characteristic of samadhi, the samadhi that arises with akusala citta can be known as samadhi, so that the characteristic can come to be known that way, even though the samadhi to be developed is only the samadhi that arises with kusala citta. But in terms of knowing its characteristic, if there's concentration on these mundane tasks, then one could say that just the characteristic of samadhi can be known at those times.
I think that the name is not the reality if we think about just the name. That's why in order to really understand reality, it must be the moment of experiencing it with understanding. And this is not this level, but this level will lead to more and more understanding of whatever appears. And at that moment, there can be understanding without naming the word at all.
Sarah, say for example, someone is concentrating hard, conventionally speaking, to open a safe. You're saying that at that moment, it is concentration that's manifesting, that shows the characteristic of concentration?
I'm saying that in a day when it's clear that there is concentration or the characteristic of concentration seems apparent, that it's unwholesome, it's mitya concentration, like at that time, or like when studying the book, or it's clear that there's a lot of concentration, but it's not right concentration at those moments. And whether or not there is any understanding of the characteristic or not, but even conventionally, one knows that one's concentrating hard at those times, but it's not wholesome concentration. But often, like when someone is meditating, another example, there's a lot of concentration, but same thing, because if it's with lobha, then it's not wholesome concentration. So the unwholesome concentration, like studying a text or meditating or something like this, is often taken for wholesome concentration, but what appears usually in daily life is unwholesome concentration.
But I think we have to be careful not to equate conventional concentration with the mental factor, the characteristic of the mental, just like we shouldn't equate the conventional idea of effort and energy with the mental factor of virya.
Right, that's what I'm saying, because to have the impression that right now I'm in a room reading a book, no disturbance, there's concentration continuously, I can read for hours. Concentration is there with all chittas, but is that what we take for concentration really concentration?
Concentration must be concentration. And if we use the right word, it is ekakata chittasika. At any moment when one is doing something very carefully or just carefully, the characteristic of it appears, but one takes it for I. That's why we better not to think about the samadhi yet, but talk about general ekakata chittasika, which the more it arises on just only one object, the characteristic of it can appear as different from daily moments.
So for the characteristic of concentration to appear, one of the conditions is that it repeatedly takes the same or similar object as...
Right now, just look at this. There must be ekakata chittasika. Look at this. Just look, see, look.
Yeah, or not looking there is it.
But it's unknown, like washing, cooking, but it can be known if you cook carefully.
And it's not the same object.
Or similar.
Can't be.
Yeah, it's never. No. But I'm saying, because we're talking about situations where, like Ajahn is saying, look carefully. So,
or just look.
Or look.
It's there.
Or not look, Ajahn. There is.
Yes. Jetasik. So we say that there are so many jetasikas, which one can appear? And even it's there, no one thing about it. Like, look at this, no one thing about concentration or ekakata jetasika, even it's there. That's why Buddha taught about the 7 jetasikas arising with each moment. But can all of them appear? Parsa? Vedana?
Jetasika? Right, parsa wouldn't appear. But we can think that it is pasa, same way we think that it is concentration, even though it does not appear.
We learn to understand. At this moment, what jetasika appears? Or does citta appear? Or what appears? No understanding. If there is no talking about these jetasikas.
It's not the same as willful concentration. Just like effort is not the same as willful effort. But still, there is a difference between naturally concentrating on something because it's of interest or for whatever reason.
Right, but the concentration we're talking about, we're referring to this conventional concentration, is thinking about some concept around that similar concept again and again. And at that time it is thinking. And I'm wondering whether... It's thinking that's manifesting, and which we take for concentration. Just because it thinks about a certain subject again and again doesn't mean necessarily that is the characteristic of concentration, but just thinking. It's just the illusion of concentration.
It could be motivated by strong attachment, for example.
Yes, that too, but I
think that we are not trying to analyze it, but understand realities which are not self or anything at all. So instead of using the word concentration, we can use the word ekakata cetasika, just that, because it arises with each moment and it's not known, like feeling like now. See, when it's not the object, it cannot be known. But in order to understand the different cetasikas when they arise together, like now, see, citta can experience only just one object at a time only because of ekakata cetasika fixed on that object. That's all. This is common to everything, but not known at all. Until we hear about it, we know that it's not I because of what? So now we learn to understand realities as not self. And the more there is the understanding of realities as not self, the less attachment to the idea, only to the idea, not to the moment when it is the right awareness and right understanding, which is much later. Without the intellectual understanding about everything, it's impossible. So we have doubt whether could Sariputta know this or could Buddha know that? It depends on understanding and the accumulation of the different ones. So we now begin to talk about samadhi from the very beginning, that it is mental factor, cetasika, not citta, and it arises with each moment of citta. So it experiences many objects now because of many moments, uncountable, like uncountable citta. Until at some moment the characteristic of it appears as a little concentration, which it cannot be observed or understood little by little. Like, look at this, see. Before that we see many people, but when we say, look at this, the characteristic of that appears as attention, but there is concentration on that as well. Just to understand that actually there is no one at all, no matter from when, eons ago, right now, and years ahead.
I think it's like awareness of other realities such as visible object and seeing, because at first what is understood, or what there is awareness of, is not the specific Dhamma, but as we've said, it's an image, but also it's a vague impression rather than a sharp awareness of a Dhamma, characteristic of a Dhamma. So also with concentration, how I understand it is that although ekagata has its function within the span of just a single citta, and as Ajahn said, its function is to focus the citta on that one object only and not anything else, but also when, as she said, our attention is drawn to a particular object, that is a kind of attention also. So that is how the characteristic of concentration begins to be understood.
Ajahn, can we say that because it's there, and when we hear about it, there is the possibility of understanding it?
This is pariyati, understanding the teachings of the Buddha.
And at certain times, like when focusing on some Pali term or when chopping up the onions in the kitchen, even though it's not awareness of the reality, still it's clear that at certain times the concentration is stronger than at other times because there are degrees. So even though it's not understanding of that reality, still it's clear that there is strong concentration at those times. And the point is that usually when it's clear that there is strong concentration, it's unwholesome concentration because it's concentration with attachment usually at those times.
But I would suggest that we at the same time see the importance of continuing to hear and consider, because it's not direct understanding anyway.
We're
trying to guess. We're actually guessing. No, because it's not
guessing at all.
It's clear to whom you're at,
it's
at
just
one time.
Even someone who hasn't studied the Dhamma, there is an idea of when there is more, like someone will say, oh, I'm very concentrated on my text, or I'm doing
situation.
My homework. But it's taken for being something good or right, or like when, but in fact it's unwholesome concentration. It's not guessing, it's just daily life, like Ajahn said, when one's attention is drawn to something, it's different from when one's just looking around the room as normal.
Otherwise, there'd be no way these different mental factors could ever be known, because they would never be known as mental factors having a function within the span of a single citta.
I'm not saying that concentration doesn't arise. I'm not saying that attention does not arise. What I'm saying is that when we think this is this or that is that, and it's not panya, it's just guessing. And of course, and at the same time, what our level of understanding is intellectual. I think it'd be safe to say that we don't know.
I think that Sarah was saying that the characteristic appears, but to the self, not to panya.
How does it ever become known then, if it's not possible for there to be some awareness?
It is known through the development of panya.
At what stage? Panya of what though?
Different levels.
Panya of what object?
Different levels.
But how could panya ever start to know any reality? Yes. Because they're also rapidly rising and falling away and so on and so forth.
Right, it's beginning with pariyati, right? So, for example, seeing.
It's like in daily life when someone says, oh, I have so much pleasant feeling, it's so enjoyable when I walk around, a lot of pleasant feeling. We know it's a kusala pleasant feeling most of the time with lobas, so it's the pleasant, but it doesn't mean just because there's not awareness of the reality of Vedana, it doesn't mean that it's not true, that there isn't a lot of pleasant feeling, the same with concentration, like when someone says they're strongly concentrating, no awareness of the reality, but it's still true that the concentration is different than at other times. And when someone says they have a lot of pleasant feeling, it's true that it's not unpleasant feeling, even though Vedana only arises for an instant and it's unknown and so on.
It would be like that, but what I'm saying is that for the way the examples that are given for concentration, and when someone says, I'm feeling good, it's not the same. When the example that you're giving for concentration at that time, in that, it seems to be, you could say the same thing, same description for thinking or attention. Just because the description in the text say concentration means concentration on one object, which is in fact on one object arisen and fallen away. When you talk about attention, it's the same way. I'm attending to this object and then attending to that object. When you attend to an object for a long time, you say that. It could be a description for attention also.
The description in the text includes the function of ekagata cittasik in the span of a single moment, but there are other references to concentration, aren't there? Like in the section on samadhi and that sort of thing, in the development of the jhanas.
And that we read as something like concentration is taking the same object over and over again. It does not say
anything. Same subject matter, not the same object.
Same subject matter, mm-hmm. over and over again, as in the case of jhana. And we know that what we're talking about is different, right? So now taking the subject over and over again is something else. Yes. It is in experience that the characteristic of concentration becomes apparent during those times.
Yes.
But I'm talking about now, when we say this is an example of concentration, I think it does not necessarily mean that it is.
Well, what's the difference between concentration now on something and the concentration in the development of samadhi that takes the same subject matter again and again, in terms of concentration?
The cittasik is the same. In that case, it becomes manifest, right? It manifests because of that description, and the person who experiences knows. Whereas in this case, when we are talking that, when you're giving the example of concentrating on each word, we're talking about, yes, the mental factor concentration needs to be there. But when we talk about it giving us an inkling of what the real characteristic is, it doesn't sound necessarily fit just concentration. It could be just thinking. It could be attention, for example.
So we've talked about the instance of the safe cracker, the burglar cracking the safe, for example, or the sniper focusing on the target. You don't think there's concentration in effect at those times? The sort of concentration that takes the same subject matter time after time?
Depends on the lopa.
Well, but why do you think it's not concentration?
I'm not saying it's not.
I see.
I'm not saying it's not. But, you know, it could be
anything. So if it was, then presumably the characteristic, if we can call it that, of that concentration could be known.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Ajahn the difference between between ekagata and manasikara, because as Sukhin said, it's easy to mix them up.
I'm not saying through experience. I'm saying because we don't understand, it can be confused.
Even citta and cittasikas arising together right now, who knows? That's why we learn to understand that there is no self, and if there's no self, there's what? They are only different realities arising from conditions, accumulated conditions. So just talk about a reality at a time in order just to know, understand better that that cannot be I. And without this understanding, there is no condition for awareness to arise directly and understanding it, because no foundation of understanding at all. Like hardness here, exactly the same. It can be the object of satipatthana, vipassanayana, and makkha and pala. It can lead to that moment of enlightenment. That's why we learn just to know that it's not self. Whatever we're talking about will bring the idea that how can this be known? Otherwise, there must be the idea of self. For example, if there are still people around in this room, who can say that there is no one? But only the right understanding of that which can impinge on the eye base and condition seeing to see it, like now. And so many, many processes, the succession of the arising and falling away of whatever through the body, through the eye sense, appear as different people, not even at moment of seeing. Many moments after, it's not known. That's why we can see the great wisdom of the Buddha, that who could know all this and was able to teach us to really understand that there is exactly no self, but not by trying other way, different way, just to have the idea that there's no self. It has to be the developing of panya from moment of understanding. For example, it's not easy to be aware or understand this moment as no one at all, only visible object. But the more there is hearing about it, it conditions the moment of thinking about it. And the more of hearing about it, it conditions more deep thinking about it. By conditions, not by, we try to make it to be just that which is seen. That is impossible. That's why no matter we talk about any type of citta and any citta seeker, it's time to learn to understand that it's not self.
And I think this is what we all agree, that the biggest hurdle is self.
Right. Because you see that even citta and citta-sikas are not separated at this moment. Only panya can understand that citta is that faculty of experiencing. That's all. That's why another word for citta is pandara. It means that citta itself is not wholesome nor unwholesome at all, because it just is the faculty of experiencing whatever appears. And depending on different jetasikas to be kusala or akusala, because citta is accompanied by several jetasikas at a time, and at least seven, even one is not known exactly. But by hearing more, understanding more, and it gets less attachment to whatever appears little by little. So the characteristic of reality can be object of direct awareness by conditions, with the developing of panya from moment of direct awareness, little by little, on and on, until it appears as what we have heard. Not permanent, from nothing, then something, and then nothing. It's not just learn to follow the words, but it learn to understand realities. That's why when we think about pariyatti and no understanding of what pariyatti is, it is just learning from book about citta and cetasikas. But actually it has to be learning from whatever appears now to understand that which can be known little by little. For example, now we talk about ekakata cetasika, right? And there is question about manasikara arising together. Different realities. Citta is citta. Ekakata cetasika cannot perform the function of citta. And citta itself cannot perform the function of even ekakata cetasika. they arise together, they perform their function differently. So when we talk about ekakata, there's question about whether it is manasikara. Ekakata is a reality which fixes on an object. So citta and the other jetasikas arising with it experience same object, cannot be changed. And at that moment of fixing, it's not the moment of attending to that object. So now there's hearing and there's attending to the sound. Different sound brings different idea. So different idea condition, different understanding, little by little. And understanding is not just hearing.
You said understanding is not just hearing.
So, yeah. What condition understanding? Wise attention. So it is attention, not the concentration, not citta, which condition right understanding.
So I find it very important what you said. At the moment there are many people in this room, and we just repeat, there is no self, but in fact something else is needed, namely, as you explained, seeing right now only visible object. And I have to consider this more to really understand this,
depending,
what you say.
Depending on conditions, wisely and more often, or whether there are more conditions to think about it. That's why there's not only suttamaya panya, there's also cintamaya panya. Considering what is heard, not by oneself. The path leading to enlightenment must be not I. All dhammas are anatta. This is the way to enlightenment.
Ajahn, you were saying about the moment of fixing on the object and the moment of the attending are not the same moment.
One citta with seven jetasikas, right, at least, and manasikara, attention is one,
right,
and one-pointedness jetasika is another one.
Right, so is it possible to know which comes first, or is not necessarily
one
really
hears
even?
To understand from the very beginning, and it depends on how much understanding is there, mm-hmm, and no selection for any object, because this way is the way of anattaness. Anatta appear, mm-hmm, little by little as, mm-hmm, not self. Even to think it's not I who try, it's right, already arisen.
Right.
Everything now. No one can do anything at all.
Yes.
Manasikara jetasika has arisen and fallen away,
mm-hmm,
performing its function.
Almost attending and fixing is at the same moment.
Yes, seven, right, jetasikas. Yes. One jetasika,
right,
is,
right,
ekakata jetasika, mm-hmm, which we usually call samadhi, and, mm-hmm, manasikara, and there is also parsa jetasika,
right, right,
vedana jetasika, sanya jetasika. Yes. Seven.
Right, seven, yeah, of them, right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like parsa goes first before the other jetasika can perform the function.
This is wrong idea, okay, and it actually relates to what I was chatting to Bev about, what we were discussing after the discussion yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So at each moment of citta, it is accompanied by
seven,
pasa,
right,
samadhi,
right,
ekagata, manasikara, and other cetasikas. So they arise together at that moment when they arise together. Citta is the leader in experiencing the object,
right,
at that same instant. Pasa contacts the object, ekagata focuses on the object,
right,
manasikara attends to the object. So they rise together, fall away completely together. So this is the way it is, the natural way of arising of attention, concentration,
right,
and so on. But as soon as there's any idea of trying to attend to an object or trying to focus on an object, then
it is the wrong idea of self that can attend or can concentrate.
Right, but I mean, logically, even during that same mind moment, without pasa, how could there be vedana and sanya?
That's why they arise together, and why vedana cannot feel the object without pasa that contacts it, without ekagata which focuses on it, and without manasikara that attends to it. So by sahajata and other conditions, they have to arise together and condition each other at that moment. So the concentration at the moment of seeing is different from the concentration at the moment of thinking, for example, because it's conditioned by the other chetasikas and by the citta at that moment.
You are thinking that logically there must be contact with the object before there can be any feeling about the object. But that is just logic. But the fact is that all citta seekers that accompany a citta arise at the same moment and perform their functions simultaneously, and it's such a brief moment anyway. It's difficult for us to comprehend, but we were talking at breakfast about trying to sort out things that are really beyond our comprehension. It's difficult when we have a logical approach to things to just accept these things, but that's the way it is.
With that position, thinking that first there must be contact, it's saying that there's one citta with one chetasika performing one function, followed by another citta with another chetasika to perform another function.
That's not what I meant. I meant in the mind moment, even in the mind moment, there's the order.
Oh, so the one moment lasts long enough to have different chetasikas perform different functions in different time?
As John mentioned, that's beyond the comprehension, so it doesn't really...
John, can I go back a bit to what you said earlier, subject matter versus object? Can you elaborate? Because it's to do with the development of samadhi. My understanding was that samadhi develops with the one object, the same object. But you, like the casinos, for example, is what I was...
Yes, but let's take another object.
Say death or the Buddha, Dhamma Sangha, to be more clear, metta.
Yes.
Okay. So let's take death, for example. So what would be the object when there is development of samadhi with maranasati is one of the 40, right? So what would be the object there?
Good question, I'm not sure.
And what about
Buddhanusati, Dhammanusati, Sanghanusati, those three?
Buddhanusati, it would be on the Buddha.
Okay, what about the Dhamma then?
The Dhamma, anything that's real.
And it couldn't be one object, could it?
Because that's where I've been mistaken. When you said subject matter, that clicked. Because
it's actually the same with all the subject matters, the gamatana, because even if it's the kasina, it can't be the same object, because actually if that it's the object. Actual kasina, it's risen and fallen away anyway.
Right.
But in any event, it's not the staring at the kasina that is the development of the... It's the relevance of the earth element that is the development of samadhi. As Ajahn has explained, everything is earth element. So staring at a kasina doesn't help to understand that. It's the way it's contemplated that is the development of samatha.
So then we go on to that Dhammanusati, right. is on realities, like any reality.
It's on any aspect of the teaching.
Aspect
Any aspect.
Because if it's, yes, any aspect of the teaching.
So does that include conceptual?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes,
with
yes.
Understanding.
And that's subject matter?
Subject matter, yeah.
I mean, the object of samatha is concepts.
Even Buddha Anusati, what do you think is the object at that time? It's the qualities of the Buddha, right? So it's not just one object. It's
virtues of the Buddha. So you're saying, yeah, it's conceptual, but concepts of reality.
And this is why we were saying the other day that we're the ones talking about Dhammanusati or Pariyatti. It is wise reflection on Dhamma.
So going back to the Buddha, it's not the image of the Buddha. It's his qualities, self-enlightened, knower of the world, Itipiso Bhagava. Yeah. Self-enlightened.
If I don't know Pali, can I have Puddhanusati?
No, I'm a bit rusty on it too. Vichacharana Sampano Sukato Loka Vidhu. Well gone, Sukato. But they all have meaning. But just reciting
but
it is.
If I don't know Pali, can I have Puddhanusati?
Yes.
Not yes. In Pali?
Not necessary to have. In fact, for us, it'd be better to forget about the Pali and just reflect on. We actually know something about these qualities already because of our understanding of Dhamma.
Excuse me, at the moment of thinking about the virtues of Buddha, how could he know all about reality right now? Is that not Buddha Anusati? Better than just recite?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We understand much about the Buddha's qualities already because of our study of the Dhamma.
At that moment of thinking about how great wisdom, virtues he has, that moment is Buddha Anusati. Yes. And when we think of how first kusala that we have come to the teachings to understand it so great, that is Dhamma Anusati.
But I would like to say that sometimes when we are in discussion here, for example, something becomes a bit clearer to us and we immediately may think of the depth of understanding of the person who taught that because it has a deep impression on us. So that's a moment of reflection on the quality of the Buddha.
Yes.
So we don't have to be reciting his virtues or anything like that.
But if one understands that language is exactly the same as in what language we use.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to say that, to say the Pali, but they can be a reminder of the qualities of the Buddha. Mm. Just going back to what you were saying before about those different mental factors, the universals in particular, and like ekaggata and manasikara and so on, they are so, I think, and I was reminded when I was listening to you there that in the Milinda Panha there is a question that's asked of Nagasena, and he said, it's like you're in the great ocean and you go into the great ocean in a boat and you're able to put your hand down the side and say, oh, that water comes from the Ganges, that water comes from the Yamuna, that water comes from the, you know, so they're able to look at it and say where that water comes from. And he said that is what the Buddha was able to do, was to know what mental factor was what. And that's the analogy that for us, like to go into the great ocean and say, oh, that's where that water came from originally. That would be very difficult.
Ajahn, it seems like book knowledge is an example of holding the snake by the wrong end.
If you said wrong study.
Excuse me? Does the snake have a handle?
Wrong study. Very dangerous. For example, thinking about citta and cetasika, like convinced just said about whether they arise different moments. See, if one thinks about chetasika, not think about citta, is it possible that there is a reality, such reality like pasa, and there's just a reality like vedana, feeling, and there's a reality which is sanya, remembering. Instead of thinking about they arise different time, performing at different moment, what about it arises by conditions, but all of them seven arise together, even different realities, but they arise together with citta, or sometimes say within citta, another meaningful handaya inside. Nothing is more inside than citta and cetasika. Citta and cetasika arises sometimes this kind or that kind, so only citta is the inside and the other just arise together in it. But they're different. Like you put something in the same glass. They're different, but it's there inside. Like Kun Sundra just said about ocean and the Ganges and the other rivers. But they arise when time comes, when there are conditions like pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, while pasa performs a function of pasa, arising, 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 but arising together. That's why citta cannot be cetasika. They conditions the other to arise. That's all. Now, it can be proven, it can be understood, it can be studied, it can be penetrated.
So, it seems important not only to know the different chetasikas and their functions and characteristics, but also how each one must arise, certain ones arise together to perform in their functions.
Condition each other at each moment, so that's why, like, the when there's strong pleasant feeling, the concentration at that time is different from the concentration of seeing, which is just vipaka citta. So they each condition each other when they arise, so it's not a matter of trying to know or trying to find out, but that's the nature of dharmas, that they are affected or conditioned by what they arise with and at different moments.
So manasikara is distinct from concentration. They arise together.
Like now, the attending is not the same as the focusing on.
To add another one, vitaka, touching.
Yet. Not seven.
Not seven, right.
Yeah.
It's the
shall we talk about the seven before another?
Oh, right, okay. That's because we were talking about attending and fixing. That's why I'm thinking sometimes vitaka is also confusing because also touching on a
what
object.
What about the other five?
The other five, okay.
It's needed because they arise together. In order to really understand that there is no self at all, we learn to be conditioned for direct awareness to be able to arise because of conditions is enough, ready for its arising. Without condition, direct awareness cannot arise at all. We only thinking about seeing right now arises and falls away. In order to understand it, there must be awareness on it, added, of it, now. And even right now of listening, there is also awareness, different degree. And awareness is not one of the seven at all.
It's very amazing what the Buddha had discovered and then proceeded to teach, which brings me to a discussion we had last night.
And this is Buddha Anusati.
Buddha.
See?
Yeah.
It seems that it must be preceded by dhammanusati.
Depending on moment and conditions.
Last night, there were a few of us sitting here discussing, and one person really had a lot of sort of, doubt about. We spoke yesterday about the Buddha knowing past, long past realities, you know, knew the jitta of people many lifetimes ago. And I just said, well, it was the Buddha. I mean, only the Buddha could know that. But the person was very doubtful that... The
kid's got to stand up.
Do you remember yesterday?
Oh, some of it, but certainly not all of yesterday.
Do you remember last year?
It's getting... Well, I do, but it's getting... A year is a long time. And yes, I remember last year.
More than you.
Oh, much, much, much more.
Right, no doubt.
But go on, you go.
Let him speak for himself.
We're not talking, Achan, about Buddha knowing what happened in the past, but knowing past objects, as in knowing the rupa which has fallen away. That was my problem. Because it seemed like it was suggested that the Buddha could know Dhammas that have already fallen away, know them, that which has fallen away, gone completely, somehow the characteristic...
What about your feeling yesterday?
It's just remembered.
But the feeling is the object, that particular feeling. So many feelings in a day, but sometimes one feeling is the object, thinking about it.
And it
appears quite the same.
But it's not the same.
Not the same.
Right.
It's not the same. That's why we use the word reflection.
So it's just the remembrance, right?
This is just for you or for me, but what about the Buddha? Like when we read in the text that no one could begin to comprehension or describe the extent of his omniscient wisdom, and whatever he put his mind to, past, present or future, no one can begin to comprehend what could be known like it is real or like it is now. So it's nimitta of what is real. Whatever he put his mind to, any time, anyone's anusya, latent tendency, accumulations, what will happen next life, last life, any time, whatever he put his mind to, like it is now. Of course, it's not the reality now, but it's like it was now, because so clear, so distinct. So it's the nimitta of reality, like it's now, because he's attending and knowing anything that he put his mind to. And it talks about this a lot in the teachings, that we can't imagine the extent of that wisdom and exactly what is known.
What Jethasika said there? At that moment? You think about Vitakka.
She's asking Sukhini.
Everyone wins. Because he's interested in Jethasika. And he had answered already.
I thought the moment of reflection, right? I was, so that's why I answered Vitakka.
Well, Buddha talk about the experience, while Kunsara talk about the experience of the Buddha, I asked what Jethasika Sweda.
The experience of Buddha.
Dhammas cannot be changed, each one. Mm-hmm. It's Dhamma. Nobody can make it different. At the moment when Sara talk about the Buddha's reflection, at that moment of the Buddha's reflection, what Jethasikas were there?
Well, Sarah's Jethasika or Buddha's Jethasika, Vitakka.
It cannot be just seven, right?
Yeah, that Vitakka to touch the object, right? The
When
nimitta.
Does it arise, vitakka? Because usually seeing has only seven cetasikas, hearing seven cetasikas, and when does vitakka arise?
When? After thinking. After in the mind or... Or Javana process, it probably arise already. Yeah. Yeah, it arise already
so
in Javana.
After seeing and hearing.
After seeing and hearing. Yeah.
Right then.
Uh-huh.
Immediately.
Right.
Even with the Vipaka Chittas which follow seeing and hearing, so even in the sense door process with the other Vipaka Chittas and the Kusala and Akusala Chittas.
And that would be more dominant than Manasikara? Because they are both... Because attending and touching seems to me to be similar function.
That's why we better talk about one at a time, one reality at a time.
Yes.
Now, vitanka only, or what? Or Manasikara, or other cetasikas, which arise with each citta?
I mean, at the moment after... seeing, they are still Manasikara and
not
also...
Not yet, just one citta.
Just one citta.
After seeing.
Right, the citta after seeing. There
how many
are
cetasikas?
More than seven.
And vitakka arises.
Right.
See? Because it does not perform the function of seeing. See? It just... Yeah.
Right.
Even just receiving... the same object which is seen, but it does not see. Different function.
Right. I guess I don't get the touching. What does not touching the object mean?
What is pasa?
Contact.
And after that, or?
You mean as the other cetasika?
Yeah. Just pasa, or this is also touch.
Mm-hmm.
With pasa.
Mm-hmm.
Another adding cetasika.
Question, does pasa also touch?
Pasa contact.
Contact, right.
Yeah. And at moment of seeing, only seven cetasikas, right?
Yes.
No vitakka.
Mm.
Not necessary to have more than seven cetasikas as conditions because it's conditioned by karma.
Right.
Just to arise to see. No, doesn't know anything at all with what the object is. Just see. See,
mm-hmm.
just see. It performs a function of seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And the citta which follows does not see, but it performs a function of receiving the object, the one which is seen.
Right, but at the moment...
By vitakka cetasika. Touching it. Not just contact.
Okay.
Little by little, one can understand the distinction between cetasikas.
But as John, you were saying, at the moment of seeing, there's does not know the object, right?
No, vitakka cetasika.
At the moment of seeing, the seven, the pasa.
Seven, pasa, and what else?
And the other.
Vetana, and what
Sanya.
Else? But and what else? We have to count the seven so that we will see that.
Okay, Jetana, Manasikara, Ekagata, Vetana.
Ekagata,
yeah, Jivindriya, the life faculty,
see,
right?
If we don't understand them, we forget them.
Right.
But when we understand them, we don't forget.
But at the moment of seeing, doesn't Sanya already perform a function? So at the moment of seeing, it still know what is seen, right?
Seeing what function is seeing? All jitas arise to perform their function.
Yes.
So, seeing... arise to do what?
See. Right.
Seeing arise just to see.
Right.
Nothing else, just to see.
Right. But at that moment there is Sanya.
Yes.
So why at that moment the citta does not know the object?
It experiences.
Experienced it.
But no idea about it.
But so marks the object, but label the object, right? Remember the object. Just mark.
I think that you think that citta and cetasikas arrive at different time or the same moment.
Right.
So at moment of citta experiencing that visible object, sanya marks that.
Marks means
the object which seeing sees.
Okay. Marks so that it can be remembered.
So it knows.
So that it will know it. Yeah. Well, it's able to compare that mark with other marks previously made, but not necessarily all in the one moment.
Okay.
Beth has been trying to.
Yeah. Or about jhatana?
Yes.
Because that's something that's not clear.
It's now. Intention to ask.
I don't understand. It's arising with every...
Whatever intention is there, it's what we call jetana, and it's the function of that jetasika.
To, right.
Yeah. Intend.
I think it's clear.
No, I think you were going in the direction of asking about the difference in intention that arises with seeing. Because when Ajahn asks, do you have intention to ask, that's different from the intention that arises with seeing, hearing, smelling. At that time it's a different function, right? It seems to be. So when you describe intention that arises with seeing, what would you say?
Conditioned by karma. So it's not the kusala intention, not akusala intention.
And you may also be wondering about what we conventionally refer to as intention, intending to do something. And intention is the mental factor that arises in the moment.
So it's a bit like Sukhin's point earlier about, well, when we say we're concentrated, it's a conventional idea, but it's not the precise understanding. But still, it's apparent when you ask a question that it is relating to chetana, even though it's not understanding the reality. Same with concentrating. But the function of chetana at every single moment, like at the moment of seeing or hearing or any other moment, is that it coordinates the citta and the cetasikas together. So seeing cannot experience the visible object without chetana to round up and coordinate the other mental factors to perform their function. So it's like the manager on the building site that directs the other cetasikas to perform their tasks. So that's why even though seeing experiences visible object and it experiences it exactly as it is, it needs the coordinator and it needs Ikagata to focus on the object, it needs Manasikara to attend it, it needs Pasa to contact it, it needs the effect of those other Chetasikas conditioning it to experience it. So Chetana is needed every single moment to coordinate the other Chetasikas, even though there's no intending to do good or bad at those moments because they're Vipaka Chetas. It's still coordinating, rounding up the other cetasikas at that instant.
But the conventional intention, we have to do something, deliberate intention to get up and go somewhere, that's a kind of thinking. But it can condition the intention that arises with the citta that will have the effect of moving the body, presumably in accordance with the conventional intention, but not always necessarily so.
The text compare intention to the chariot rider. Right, so the horses are the different chetasikas.
school prefect coordinating the other students, or the head prefect. Yeah. Okay. So any more doubt about the knowledge of the Buddha, the omniscient knowledge of the Buddha, and what can be known?
No.
Anything can be known.
But not a reality that has already fallen away.
Any reality can be known.
Not the reality. It's the nimitta of the reality.
Just like now. Like now, if there's understanding of seeing or hearing, like for any moments of vipassana jnana, it's nimitta of reality. So it's the same, but we can call it reality. It's like it is the reality at that moment.
It is not sankhara nimitta. It is just what's remembered through sanya. But with panya at the time, I presume. And so it's different from normal people.
Sure, it's just a function of sanya, though, because their sanya can recollect things that have been experienced already, but we are talking about the Buddha knowing something that was not at the time experienced by him. So there has to be some other explanation. I'm not that concerned about it.
That's why I didn't want to bring that up.
Because the knowledge of the Buddha is one of the unthinkables, imponderables.
I think it would be like the visible object or the seeing that was experienced long ago. I think it is because of the power of jhanas, in this case, for the Buddha and the arahats. Then it is like the sankhara nimitta. It is like it is the reality, the nimitta of reality that is directly known, not like our recollection of what happened yesterday.
And how a person can fly through the air. There's so many things that are.
There are just different realities at that time, right? We're talking about the reality coming from the understanding that all realities rise and fall away completely. So what about it that can come back?
Well, I didn't have an answer to that. I'm not sure the question is a valid one, and I think the area is not worth expending precious time on. But I appreciate you didn't bring the subject up this morning.
But several people have said you didn't have to put your hand up. I wasn't going to mention names.
No, I didn't mind, because I didn't want you to keep saying, "Oh, that person."
So, Ajahn, when the Buddha's knowledge, which could directly know anything that it put as any reality, like it is
the past
now.
Is the past, the present is the present, the future is the future.
But it could know it exactly like it is, could know the reality exactly as it is, or was, or will be, I think.
Or nimitta of them.
Nimitta of them, yeah. But nimitta of that reality.
Which hasn't happened yet, or
which
has
gone. Gone, yeah. Yeah. Nimitta of the reality.
But it's very clear in the text
that one reads that it is the nimitta of reality.
I'm sure that you had read, so you've more read than I am, and you must have come across that suggested that. So that's what I was telling Paina and Azita last night, that I'm not saying either way that I think I'm right. I'm just not ready to understand and don't want to think about it.
But I think that no one can understand the virtues of the Buddha only little by little by understanding his teachings.
Well, we talk about the Buddha, but I'll bring it back to this moment we were talking about jitta, the moment of seeing jitta arises with these seven jetta seekers. But I've never experienced those jetta seekers, so I'm wondering why is it that I believe this happens, you know what?
By conditions.
Conditions.
Reasons.
Because there feels like there's no reason not to believe it, even though it's not directly experienced.
That's why we learn to understand each word, one word at a time.
Mm.
Otherwise, we don't look at it closely.
But when we say we believe it, we understand that we only have an intellectual grasp of what the teaching is, and that something that hasn't been directly experienced and verified isn't to be taken just on faith. We know all that, we don't have to repeat it every time, but I think that we accept it on a certain basis, don't we? It's not total acceptance, and
it's not experienced as such.
No,
but it's certainly.
It's not like the confidence we have that seeing experiences physical object and nothing else, and that. The objects experienced through the different sense doors are quite different. Those jitters have different functions, and they're followed by thinking, and that the idea of cup and person is a product of the thinking of what has been experienced through the sense doors.
Yes, stories are made up about what is seen.
Right. So those things we have been able to verify to a certain extent. So the universal mental factors, we don't have the same experience of, and so when we say we believe it, it just means we accept it as a basis for considering other things, but we don't hold it as an article of faith, do we? No.
And John, can we not refer to the different levels of understanding? Because if it's not direct understanding, there's also intellectual understanding. So intellectual understanding comes first. So maybe that's the basis of the belief, intellectual understanding. And maybe that includes not just the understanding that each, at the moment of seeing, there are seven chaser seekers, but as John gives reference to other moments, as say for example, you know, feeling at other times, you know that it arises with the citta. So,
and I know I remember.
Yeah, so that is the basis. It's not just blind faith.
No, well, I didn't. I've acknowledged that it's not blind faith.
I don't quite see how you could have intellectual understanding though that only seven mental factors arise with each vipaka citta.
For example, I mean, if someone said that at the moment of seeing it's not necessary to have vipaka, there can be some, it makes sense on a certain level. And if someone said that seeing is not kusala akusala, then you know that it doesn't have lopa, dosa, and certain other chetasikas. So on some level, you can understand that it must have less than kusala and akusala. And seven is just another number. I mean, you could say six or five. And
on another topic, yesterday evening, Alberto brought up a topic about kusala karma and punya kriya vatu, and he has a question for Ajahn on the topic.
Yes, because the karma pata are not to kusala and akusala kamapata. And akusala is killing and stealing and harsh talk and lying and taking intoxicant and other and five more. And the 10 kusala ones are the abstaining from these 10 actions. While the basis for merits are dana and sila and bhavana and helping others. And I think it has to do with charita sila and varita sila. It sounds like the kusala kamapata are varita sila and the 10 basis for the 10 meritorious deeds are charita sila, but that's just my idea.
About Charita Sila.
You need to keep it very simple.
Yeah.
Shall I summarize his question?
So he was talking about how often in the suttas we read about under kusala kamapata as in terms of the avoidance of akusala kamapata, such as the virati, like avoiding killing when there's an opportunity, avoiding stealing, and so on. And in those 10 akusala kamapata that are listed, it doesn't mention anything about giving or understanding or any charita sila at all. But we read about those when we read about the 10 punyakirya vatu. And so his question is, first question, as I understand it, is why when we read about the 10 kusala kamapata in terms of the avoidance of the 10 akusala kamapata, why does it only mention the virati sila, like the avoidance from killing, stealing, and so on? That's the first point.
In other words, all jetasikas are sila, not only virati jetasikas. When virati jetasikas arise with any citta, the other jetasika is also sila because they are all kusala.
So at a moment of, we know that when, for example, on the eightfold, if we're talking about the eightfold path, at a moment
that's
of
why
avoiding.
We better talk about one thing at a time.
Yeah. So let's talk about these 10 kusala kamapata that are listed, these 10.
That we are going to talk about kamapata.
Yes. Kamapata, yes. Mm-hmm. This is what the topic
because
is about.
There can be kusala citta right now, but at moment of kusala citta, it can be by way of dana, by way of sila, or by way of bhavana. Like now, it's kusala citta. Under what? Or by way of what? Bhavana, or sila, or dana, see? Depending on that very moment. If you give this, see? Holding the microphone, helping the others, it depends on whether it is at that moment sila or dana.
The first point was when it's mentioned as the just the moments of kusala that are moments of abstaining from speaking harsh words when there's an opportunity, at abstaining from killing. We know that it's not just the virati chetasikas, but many other kusala chetasikas at those moments. Maybe panya, may not be panya. So first of all, it makes it sound like any of those moments of abstaining, like now maybe one wants to say something
sharp word to one's friends, but one abstains. But we cannot say that it's necessarily always
you think of the action, the words, and the speech. But what about the citta? So we have to understand from the very beginning what type of citta is there. And when it is kusala, it's through speech or words, or at what degree? Like killing, or just hurting, or just thinking about hurting. See, it depends on citta.
Alberto is clear about the kusala gamapata, but when it comes to the kusala gamapata, which is abstaining from...
What is kusala, and what is kusala kamma, and what is kusala gamapata?
Right. It would be kusala if there is wholesome restraint from performing akusala.
Any moment of kusala is kusala citta.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's wrong, or it has done something as kamma, it is kusala kamma.
Well, how strong? And
because very little strong.
Because
very little strength.
His question is, why doesn't it mention, for example, dana, strong dana? Is strong dana kusala kamma? Is strong
what
banya?
Can you give? What can kusala? You give?
The dhamma.
The dhamma.
Or rice, or food, or fruit. Mm-hmm. See?
But it
does. And higher than that, more than that, can you give?
Yes.
So it's bigger, greater,
right.
Purer.
Right. But when it talks about kusala gamapata, it doesn't mention any kind of giving.
What is pata?
Way or course? Way?
Way to?
For kusala kamma to
produce results.
Yes.
Or to what?
Yeah. But it doesn't mention any kind of giving at all in the list of 10 kusala
kamma. Do we have to mention, or any time kusala citta, and it give away things or give away something? It depends.
We're just trying to understand that what it says in the text.
Have you heard about sila is mahadana? See, even sila is dana, but it's greater than dana.
Yes, yes. Because if you abstain from killing animals, it's said in the text too that it's giving them the opportunity, give him the opportunity to live without any being harmed. So the classification is not so very strict.
And whatever can bring result is kusala kammapata.
So jhana citta, for example, brings result of rebirth in the arupa brahma realm. So of the 10
pavana
kusala kammapata, which one
pavana
would that fall
pavana
under? Pavana is not mentioned in the 10.
The point is that
when it's classified under the punya kiriya watu, it says bhavana, but in this list of 10 that we're referring to,
is it kusala?
Sure, it's kusala.
Sure. Is it higher than dana and
yes,
sila?
Yes, yeah, it should be.
So
why isn't it mentioned in the
because
10?
It is kusala of the strength that will condition the rebirth in that plane.
Mm-hmm.
Already is there.
Would be also, what's the difference between kammapata and punya kiriya?
What about punya kiriya? It's also kammapata, but it's a kusala kammapata.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Punya kiriya is kammapata, same.
Ah.
It makes sense.
Okay.
When it's a kusala kamma, it must bring result, the same
but,
as kusala
kamma. But why is it not listed? Okay, I'll ask.
That's what I said, I was saying
them. Yeah. The 10 kusala kammapata are
includes all types of kusala citta.
Why is it not so clear? Because here it says
it depends on your understanding.
Okay. Okay, one by one. Refraining from destroying life is not dana. Is not bhavana.
Abandoning anything, sacrificing anything.
Eating carbs before
I'll ask another one. What would giving a gift, material help to someone else, be in the 10 kusala kama patha? Refraining from destroying life, refraining from stealing, refraining from, oh, this is bad translation, from false speech, refraining from slander speech, refraining from harsh speech, refraining from idle chatter, refraining from covetousness, refraining from ill will, and having right view.
Having right view, kusala kama.
Yes. So what?
The jhana citta and vipassana, bhavana, right view.
Right, and what about dhana? Where does dhana fit
they
in this?
What do you mean? Because
dhana is not listed in the 10 kusala kama patha.
What are the 10?
That's what I'm saying. You have to say the opposites. Because I got the list of the 10 kusala.
Okay, what's the first one?
Abstaining from killing.
Abstaining from killing. Abstaining from stealing.
That is sila.
This is also the
10
kusala kama.
What are
patha.
They?
Abstaining from killing. Abstaining from stealing, abstaining from sexual misconduct, abstaining from false speech, abstaining from slanderous speech, abstaining from harsh speech, abstaining from idle chatter, abstaining from covetousness, abstaining from ill will, and having right view.
Having right view.
It says here, I forget the 10th.
No, I don't think
it says wrong view, so I'm saying what's the opposite.
No,
right.
It says
abstaining from wrong view.
View.
Okay,
yeah,
abstaining from wrong view.
From wrong view.
So where does dana fit in this?
At
dana.
The moment of giving, is there any wrong view?
And what does it mean, abstaining from wrong view?
They arise not together, wrong understanding and giving.
But what does it mean to abstain from wrong view?
Right view, study, hearing.
Okay.
I don't understand the point. What is your doubt or question about? Because it has to do with citta, cetasika and rupa.
I think the point is that if one were reading about the kusala kamapata in terms of that it's described in, when describing the punya kriya vata under dana sila and bhavana, then it seems very clear because it includes different kinds of dana, different kinds of respect, service, different kinds of listening, sharing dharma, straightening right view, so it seems very clear. But when one reads many times that the 10 kusala kama pata are just the abstaining from the akusala kama pata, just abstaining from killing, stealing, lying or whatever, it just seems to be pointing only to moments of virati. It doesn't seem to be pointing to any moments of...
Does it mean that the kusala, the other kusala deeds are not included?
Well, this is why he's asking how are they or where are they included. I mean, it may be that this is just referring particularly to the abstaining from the akusala kama, but it's not meant to be the exhausted list.
I have come across a list, things like weyawacha, patinumodana, that is quite an extent. Ditujika, there's quite a few. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
How many punya kriya vatu?
Ten.
So includes all dana, sila, and bhavana.
That's right.
And now the point is kusala kamapatha, or what? the question is about?
The question is, it doesn't say that the punya kriya vatu are kusala kamapata.
Why not? When we understand. What are the punya kriya vatu?
Yeah, when it talks.
What are they?
Yeah, just before I get on to that, when it talks about the kusala kamapata, it mentions abstention from the agusala. And then it talks about punya kriya vatu, but it doesn't link that with the kusala kamapata.
But when one understands the different level of kusala, we know that by way of dana, or by way of sila, and by way of bhavana,
that's
kusala.
What we've always understood. But we're wondering why in the text it isn't explicitly mentioned that the punya kriya vatu are the kusala kamapata.
Yeah, because dana is kamapata, sila is kamapata, and bhavana is also kamapata.
We don't find that said anywhere specifically.
It's understood.
I have a theory.
Because you have to study from the very beginning.
Because it takes maybe starting and focusing on the 10 akusala kamapata. So the opposite is given. Only the opposite.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's
an understandable explanation.
And just beforehand they've gone through the 10 akusala kamapata, and then it's just the way the suttas are, and then it talk about the opposites, just like they may talk about wrong view and then they talk about right view. So it's just the way of presentation.
I was thinking also about the five precepts. It's the same. Abstain from killing, abstain from...
abstain from all akusala?
Abstain from all akusala. The five precepts, or the eight precepts.
From all akusala? Why not? Kusala moments, abstain from kusala, from akusala. Yes. By way... And then we talk about, after that, all kusala abstains from akusala, right? And we talk about the kusala in details about the 10.
The other question I have is, so for example, one knows if someone is just babbling away, then it's not kamapata, but if there is the intention to divide friends or really cause trouble to hurt other people, then it's kamapata. And the same when it mentions about the akusala kamapata, when it's just avoiding babbling away as usual, then it's not kusala kamapata. But when one avoids speaking in a way that is really divisive or causes trouble, can one say at that moment that is kusala kamapata?
Jetana is kama for all kusala or akusala.
Kusala, yes. But it just depending on the degree. How? Yeah. Not a matter of pinpointing.
So one is not just
reading and following, one has to consider carefully, like abstaining from taking intoxicants. We can't say that every time one's offered a glass of beer and one abstains from taking it, that this is kusala kamapata. It's not like that at all. So it's always a matter of how it's read or studied or considered. And
so the teaching is not to read and doubt, but to read and understand. Otherwise, why this and why that all the time? Who knows better than the Buddha?
Anything else on this topic, Alberto? Go on your other topic.
Kamaja Rupa, and still related with Kamaja Rupa, and now it it goes on for the whole of a lifetime, from birth, from Patisandhi to Chuddhicitta.
Seven moments before Chuddhicitta.
Okay, 7 moments before.
17 moments.
17, sorry. And why we have two legs and two arms. I would like to hear you talk about the result of karma, both nama and rupa.
Karma chirupa?
Yes, and also nama, and both the result of karma in general.
So you're talking about karma or kamacharupa?
The kamacharupa and also vipaka. And also vipaka citta. Also vipaka. Also nama. Both both nama and rupa resulting from karma.
Question.
Okay, can you explain about kamajarupa, please?
Yes. Rupa, each rupa has one condition for its arising. Some are conditioned by kamma, and some are conditioned by citta, and some are conditioned by uttu, and some are conditioned by ahara. So that which is conditioned by kamma, citta, ahara and utu cannot produce at all. Only kamma can produce that special rupa, that kind of rupa, which are the eye base, ear base, and so on. How many of them together? It doesn't matter if we don't remember, but we understand that which now is conditioned by karma.
Okay. Yeah. The five pasada rupas and jivitindriya and and another one, and I forgot, can't remember the other.
Bhava.
Hataya. Hadaya. Hadaya. Nine altogether. Nine rupas altogether.
Four, five, and then two, seven.
Maybe.
Hataya, and then Iti Bhava, Purusa Bhava.
Purusa Bhava. Yeah, but the Bhava, the two Bhava rupas.
Yes, conditioned by karma.
Yeah, Jivitindriya.
Each moment of citta, the arising moment, the three moments of citta, kamma charupa arises by conditions. Even citta does not arise, the kamma charupa arises because it's conditioned by kamma.
You said each of the three, at each phase of citta. Did you say at each phase of citta, even at the arising of each citta, kamajarupas are conditioned?
It does not arise at moment of kamajarupa, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even at
the first moment. When one gets sick, one does know from what condition, kamma or citta or utu or ahara or all three.
And I think his question, he also wanted to, so we know that these various rupas are conditioned by karma at each moment during life. And we also know that various cittas, various namas are conditioned by karma. So like now, at moments of seeing and hearing. And I think your question was about the connection between them?
It, how it makes the makes appear that there is a self, it makes possible for a self to believe it he exists, both having the body and having vipaka, and I don't know, I'm just a bit confused on this subject, and how it's so easy to believe that there is a self and there is a person who has a body and who hears, who sees, who thinks, but that's not a result of karma. Thinking is not the result of karma. Thinking it is karma. Thinking.
We are talking about rupa.
Rupa and vipaka. And
vipaka is citta and cittasika.
Yeah, but the same. Pachaya, the same.
Each one is conditioned to arise and falls away, instantly, never return. For example, the ibis, how many kalapas? We don't know. Very small, but they are conditioned by karma, arising and falling away. Never be the same one. Never come back. Always new. And can one know what karma conditioned the ibis now? Impossible.
Ajahn, I was wondering. The ibis arises before seeing.
It arises each tiny moment of citta. What do you call that? Three
phases.
Three phases of citta.
Even at the moment of arising, if the
ibis hadn't already arisen,
non-stop.
Impossible for seeing to experience. The visible object has to have already impinged on the eye sense. Mm.
So does that mean the karma that conditioned the ibis is different from the karma that conditioned seeing?
It depends. Who knows? Who knows?
And it depends what visible object one's talking about, whether it's the visible object out there or in here or what visible object.
Because at the moment of seeing,
yes,
there must be ibis, seeing and visible object.
Yes.
Seeing is conditioned by karma.
Yes.
Ibis is conditioned by karma.
Yes.
So given that the ibis must arise before the seeing, does that mean that the ibis has arisen by a different karma than the one that conditioned seeing?
We don't know.
All we can say is that the ibis was conditioned by karma and other paccaya, which are different from the moment of seeing. We can't say whether, like we know that one karma that conditions patisandhi in life conditions many other kamaja rupas and many other vipaka chittas, so we can't say whether it's same or different, but we can just say that the eye sense is conditioned by karma and other paccaya, and seeing is conditioned by karma and different paccaya.
Even two moments of seeing can be conditioned by the same karma.
Yes. Who knows?
The eye base would be conditioned by kusala gama, wouldn't it?
Depending.
Depending. It can be our kusala gama.
Mm-hmm. The animal's ibis conditioned by what? The animal.
Yes, I don't know the answer.
It's born as an animal by akusala karma.
Yes. So does this mean that the ibis is conditioned by akusala?
We don't know.
Oh, we don't.
Because the karmas are concealed by whatever, and even the result is concealed about its originate.
I think your question, Alberto, is, for example, the rupas that we take for being the table, they are not confused with being a person, and why are these rupas and namas taken for being a person? Is this your question?
Why it's so easy to believe in the self? Why it's so... it makes appear that there is a person, there are people and things. And someone who, not instead of datus, we believe that there is a self which can have control over someone, can decide what he sees, can decide what he eats, can choose what he... He also can choose what he smells, or can. I think it's there must be some connection with the way karma, the result of karma, makes itself known, and that's why samsara, it's so difficult to get out of samsara, because it's... So looks so real, the thing, the result of karma. Makes it looks like that there is a self, which is not the case at all.
What about an Aryan who's enlightened? Sometimes the world appears as it is. It still seems like there are many people sitting in a room, they're still thinking like that. Why that does not delude the Aryan? But not Pandya doesn't arise all the time.
Yeah, but problem is the Aryans are so... So it's not the normal people is Putujana, not Aryans.
Alberto, isn't it? Isn't each kanda not just so different rupas are taken for being something, like the hardness is taken for a thing, a something, a table, the Vedana is taken for something or someone, the Sanya is taken for something, someone, the like, dislike is taken for something, someone, the thinking. So in the case of the thinking, the like, the dislike, it's taken for a person, whereas the rupa is just taken for arm or table. But actually, any reality is taken for something or someone.
Yeah, but you need eyes to, or you need hands to, you need a body to feel the outside, even to think about a cup. You need to see it first, or to touch it, or so you.
That's why a table can't take anything for utter. Because if there's no seeing, there's no hearing, there's no thinking about it,
yeah,
it cannot be taken for something.
No, I agree.
I wonder, your question could, from another point of view, be that the rapidity of the chittas gives the illusion of continuity. Is that a factor of why, is that a reason why it's taken for something? Does that make it easier to be taken for self?
Hello. also because, as we know, at each moment there's the marking, the remembering, and because of that rapidity there's the immediate thinking of shape and form and colour and idea of something or someone, because ignorance has been accumulated forever. And sanya conditions that thinking to think in that way because of the ignorance.
If there were no
results of karma in the first place, if there was no patisandhi and no other vipaka cittas, then there would be no akusala, there would be no karma, there would be no wrong remembrance at all.
Are all rupas of the body conditioned by gamma?
All?
Yes, are all.
There are four conditions, not only one condition.
What I was thinking, like we have eye sense, ear sense.
Just very, very small, very tiny.
Very. Okay, right. So when the gamma that's produced, because it's one gamma that produces all those senses, is it not? When that gamma, when the result of that gamma expires, we say the person is dead. What about other bits? What conditions other
the
bits of
gamma charupa do not arise at all 17 moments before death. So it falls away with the death consciousness.
The gamma charupa does not arise for 17
before death.
Does not arise. So where does the last jutijita arise? It has to be somewhere.
What do you mean?
Well, the gamma charupa.
Remember that rupa lasts for 17 times the length of citta, so that. Yes. That Hadaya Rupa but doesn't arise again. And
the rest of it just.
And now the Rupa's conditioned by temperature and nutriment all the time. And Ahara, Ahara and Chitta. If you just relied on karma and never ate any food or never took any note of the temperature, then you wouldn't live long.
So after that.
Yeah, so some of the rupas now are conditioned by citta, for example, or ahara.
Yeah.
But from the moment of death onwards, they are just conditioned by uttu.
Nina would like to bring up the topic of vibrations. You can ask about vibrations.
Vincent, we had a discussion just now about itchy, that you give the point when you feel itchy or some pain, it seems to last because we think of the conventional idea of pain, not the reality, and that reality that is quite different.
All right, the question is kind of related to yesterday about the experience of the reality of nimitta, because the itchy, if it lasts for a few seconds, and then,
seeing lasts for how many seconds?
It jump around, seeing, thinking.
It cannot jump.
Arise and fall, right? Okay, the same for itching then. It's the same for itching, right? But is itching caused by lack of or very little heat element?
That it's thinking.
Right.
In conventional way, we think about the pain, and it's different from knowing a reality one by one.
It's okay. The question is just if it's hot, we know it's too much heat element, but when it's itchy, is that because too little heat element?
Thinking,
right. Okay. Okay.
It's different from experiencing a reality that appears. But you bring up the point of nimitta, but maybe it may be confusing too. It's better to talk about reality, because nimitta is quite a detail again. It's actually a reality that is experienced. We don't have to think of nimitta. And ichi, well, it's a name that we give, so it's a conventional idea. It's not experiencing one of the elements one by one. It's quite different from knowing a reality by panya.
From what we've studied, we know that there are three rupas that are experienced through the body sense, right? Earth, fire, and wind. So we're not concerned about, at that moment, we're talking about at that moment of experience, what is it? It's through the body sense, so it has to be one of those three, right? It's not known, it's not known, but it has to be one of those three. We're not concerned about what conditioned this thing, but what it is. So we're not conditioned about what conditioned the iti, whether it's heat or what, but what the experience is.
Two different questions. Yes. So the characteristic of the moment can be directly known, but the reason or the cause cannot.
We always tend to think about it. That Ajahn said thinking, and then it seems to last again. You say it. Just before we started this, you said, well, it impinges again and again and again. But even so, it seems to last. It seems it's only the thinking of an idea of itchy or pain, an idea of pain. But we call it pain. But what is there? Panya only knows right then. Not afterwards, the thinking afterwards.
I heard you saying that any reality can be the object of understanding, so never mind, we usually say kalesa, what it is. But you said by not developing awareness when kalesa arise, they can rule over other dharmas. So can be a sotapanna any time, but don't underestimate the harm of kilesa. Would you say a little bit more about the importance of not underestimating the harm of kilesa?
Like now, or like taking this or that. Usually, when there is no awareness, it's like careless or underestimate the danger of akusala.
Manners or something, like one just takes something that doesn't belong to one. One doesn't realize the
any
harm
moment of
any
akusala.
Any moment.
Yeah. I don't quite get the point.
I think the point is that we know any reality, any time can be the object of understanding, but this doesn't mean there should be carelessness. Actually, the development of understanding sees the harm of more and more subtle kinds of kalesa. So now we're not killing or stealing, but maybe just acting carelessly or just common, ordinary akusala. So even now during a Dharma discussion, so much akusala during the time, so it's a reminder to see the harm of any akusala, not to underestimate it.
Could you give an example of the subtle akusala that we are not aware of?
Like this, when I can't find my pen and I just take a pen to start writing, or something like this.
Yes.
It's just thinking of oneself or attachment or causing, being inconsiderate to others around, or any moment, just common, ordinary akusala.
Yes. So we need more examples of that too. Not only this way of taking her pen.
So many examples.
You need
examples are not much use because everyone's different.
Yeah,
and true. What is an example for one person, we can't translate that and say that's an example for others. So it's a matter of being more alert, I suppose, to those situations.
Achan, is this the reason why we don't only know about Virati Sila but also about Charita Sila?
And talking about, in this case, unprofitable courses of action, in the Visuddhi Marga, there's a quote which says that killing living beings, taking what is not given, sexual misconduct, false speech, wrong view are eliminated by the first knowledge, by the Sotapanna. So no more of the strong akusala that harms other people. Like
can condition such manners.
That can condition such strong behavior or manners, such as taking what's not given or speaking in a way that hurts or harms the others deliberately. And then it mentions that malicious speech, harsh speech, and ill will are eliminated by the third knowledge, the anagami. And my question is that we know that after becoming a Sotapanna, there cannot be the degree of akusala that condition rebirth in hell realms. There cannot be that kamapata that conditions that kind of birth in a woeful plane. But when it mentions malicious speech, harsh speech, and ill will under akusala kamapata that are eliminated only by the anagami, is this really akusala kamapata at that degree? Or just supporting?
Depending on citta.
Depending on citta and kilesa.
How strong it is.
So harsh speech that is strong enough to bring result, but not by way of rebirth, I think.
Because you can see that harsh speech can kill someone.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's not the intention to kill, or?
You're talking about Sotapanna?
I'm talking about
ordinary person.
I'm talking about the Sakadagami.
Sakadagami. Just have kilesa, but not the degree that it can do, like killing.
Will not deliberately, the speech cannot deliberately harm the others. But here it says that the harsh speech and the ill will, which is akusala kamapata, is only eliminated
less
by
degree. Even the manokama, apicca, different
yes.
degrees.
Yes.
For people who are not sotapanna and who are sotkatagami, less and less.
Yes. And then actually it says the gossip and covetousness, the abhija, only eliminated by the arahat.
Because you see that we use the word translated, but about the degree,
yes,
different degree.
So subtle and such a minor degree, like just, and it cannot even be the attachment to sense
Lopa
object.
To reality with conceit.
Yes, but then loba with conceit, but not even to sense object, and so slight or little at that point. But why does it have it under akusala kamapata?
It cannot bring to the woeful plane.
No.
But not out of samsara.
Let's see. It cannot bring to the woeful plane, but not out of samsara. So can it bring results in samsara?
Yes.
Supporting results, but not by woeful, not a rebirth in woeful plane.
Yeah.
So sometimes when, for example, when it defines akusala kamapata in the text, like in the Abhidhammata Sangaha and its commentary, it talks about akusala kamapata as that which can bring rebirth in woeful planes.
Then we understand what degree and of whom.
Of what degree and whom. But when it's like this, the very, very slight abhija or the, I don't know how you would describe such.
It's not akusala kama, but it's kusala citta.
Just akusala citta. Mm-hmm. But why is it mentioned under kamapata?
Because it is kama and it can be for the others.
For the others, yeah. I see. But here it's just talking mm-hmm. about the very subtle one, not the mm-hmm. kamapata. Okay. Because for other people it can be so strong, but not in this case.
With other akusala.
With other akusala mm-hmm. and with yeah, behavior through body and speech.
Other kusala and that this has been not eradicated.
Yes, and not with body and speech. Okay.
I find it difficult to follow this. I have trouble to follow, like harsh speech. Can harsh speech kill? I don't understand it.
So, for example, we're not talking now about an Aryan, we're talking about someone in daily life, like someone may use such strong, harsh speech and such.
That he gets a heart attack or something.
Yeah, that the other person has a heart attack or is so affected by it. Yeah. Because he's shouting and the speech is so strong and so full of curse words that the other person collapses. So it can,
In that way,
when it's that degree, it can kill.
But the subtle degrees for Sakadagami, for instance, this is difficult to follow.
I think the point is that, for example, when it talks under the section of Akusala Kamapata, and it mentions covetousness, abhija, only eliminated by the arahat. But we're just talking about the tiniest hint of mana and it nothing to do with sense objects because there's no lobha for sense objects. So it's the most subtle degree. Mm-hmm. And it's just the remaining akusala cittas, nothing to do with kamapata.
Yeah.
So my question is, why is it under this section? Because that quality, that chetasika, that mana, for example, in other people, like before becoming a sotapanna, can be of a degree that combined with other factors, and when carried out through body or speech, can cause a lot of harm to other people.
Yes, yes.
So it's talking. So there are degrees. So it's talking about that quality.
That quality,
But even though here it's so slight, it cannot cause results, bring about results. But that same quality, like we're talking about degrees of pleasant feeling, well, degrees of akusala.
Yeah.
So when it's strong enough before becoming a sotapanna, then can bring about results by way of rebirth and other rupas and vipaka jitas.
When it's not kama paccaya, it can be pakatu panisya paccaya.
Accumulate.
Yeah. When it's wrong for the other, said it's kama pata.
Difficult point.
So the tendency, like the speaking with akusala cittas, when it's like now we may speak with some akusala cittas bound to, so that tendency accumulates, but it's not so strong as to harm or hurt the others deliberately.
Yeah.
So when it's strong enough to deliberately hurt or harm the others, it's kamapata.
It's kamapata,
but when it's at this stage for this higher Aryan, it's just so slight, it's just referring to akusala cittas only.
Only
that is accumulating, but not bringing result.
About paccajata, paccia.
So talking about namas, all namas support rupas which have already arisen by whatever condition. So for example, at a moment of seeing, the rupa, the eye sense, has already arisen. So the seeing supports that eye sense, that rupa which hasn't fallen away yet, or the visible object which has experienced it hasn't fallen away. But if there is no experiencing, no seeing of the visible object, it arises and runs for 17 moments of citta and falls away. It doesn't need any support. So in what way does the seeing support it? Why?
Because the seeing is there and the rupa is there.
That's all it means. So it doesn't actually support or anything. It just means that...
By way of such.
It just means that the rupa is still there when the seeing arises. That's all it means. Okay, thank you. Not really support.
Because the visible
object doesn't need the help of nama at all, because it arises countless times every moment quite happily without any support from namas, but it just means that at that moment the nama arises.
Nama support the rupa. Pacha, the later.
Pacha, later, just means that it arises at that time.
The rupa is still there.
It's still there, that's all it means. Talking about buddhanusati, but if we're not talking about buddhanusati, but just reflection about the meaning of words spoken by the Buddha, can we say that reflection can be kusala, but not yet accompanied by panya?
If there is no panya, can there be the understanding? Which conditions such reflection? That's why not only what they can, Namo Tassa Bhagavata.
So if we just repeat Namo Tassa Bhagavata, if there's no panya, no understanding, if there's no
panya, then there cannot be any reflection on the meaning of the words or any kusala at all. So with thinking about the Buddha,
because
there's no
at the
moment kusala.
Of thinking about the virtues of Buddha, it means that panya is there which thinks.
Right. Okay, right now we can anumatana in another person's kusala. With kusala. But when it comes to the Buddha, we're talking about kusala at a very high level. So that requires panya, is that? When we're talking about the qualities, the virtues of the Buddha. For example, we're thinking about his great compassion. That requires understanding.
Certainly, like now.
Not. It's not like ordinary compassion.
Can we say that
without any understanding at the pariyatti level, without any understanding of the teachings, there can be any wise reflection about the Buddha's qualities?
No understanding, no. That person doesn't know Buddha.
At all. So it cannot be any wise reflection. So that's why there must be pariyatti first, before there can be any reflection on Buddha, Dharma, or Sangha. Want to ask a little bit more about the Chaita seekers or discuss them a bit more?
Well, Ajahn was saying we should consider one word at a time.
Yeah.
And we started talking about the universal Jeta seekers.
Right.
And and I asked about volition, and we talked about concentration.
Mm-hmm.
And so could you say a little bit more about Vandana feeling? Because that's another Jeta seeker which arises with every Chitta.
The feeling?
Feeling.
It feels now. For sure. But it doesn't appear as the object.
I think about it, but I don't know.
Whenever there is passa and citta experience, yes, the conditioned feeling too.
Because you have passa, you have feeling.
The
because
close,
they have to go
the,
together.
What you call proximate cause.
It helps to think of it as together rather than separate.
Otherwise, there's no moment of thinking about understanding feeling as the self at all. But one doesn't have to go and find feeling. It's here now, every moment.
Can you say more about one being the proximate cause for the other?
For example, sanya is the cause. Everything, every citta is the cause for the result which arise together. But the close, very near one, the proximate one, of feeling is patsa. So patsa, vedana, cetana, ekakata, civitindriya, and manasikara. All patsa, vedana, sanya, cetana, civitindriya, manasikara.
And actually we can say they're all the proximate cause of each other because they have to arise together and they have to be supported and conditioned by each other. Like often people talk about samadhi as proximate cause for panya. It is, but panya is also proximate cause for samadhi because they have to arise together.
And for saying, for example, pasa is a proximate cause for vedana and not the other way around in the text. So what's the significance of this?
That can be known.
And I think it's pointing to the characteristic of passa without contact of the object, the no feeling at all, and we.
You mean the characteristic of function of passa. To contact the object.
The function of passa is to contact the object, and so it's often mentioned first, and we refer to and read about it in all the contexts about seeing and visible object and contact. Without contact, then citta and the other citta seekers cannot experience that object in any way. Feeling can't taste it in a pleasant or unpleasant or neutral way. Hmm. So it depends on contact.
Same way that concentration is for panya. Without concentration, there's no panya. Yeah.
And in Paticca Samuppada, that's why it says that there's contact, and because of contact, it conditions feeling. Because without contact, feeling and all those other ayatanas couldn't arise. And this is where people get the wrong idea, Vincent. They have the idea of contact first, then feeling, or something like that. Actually, they arise together, but they depend on contact to contact that object. And it depends on the other mental factors that arise at that moment and the citta at that moment, what kind of feeling it is and how it tastes or experiences the object, whether in a pleasant or unpleasant or neutral way. And then there's so much attachment to pleasant feeling. We mind so much about the feeling at each moment, forget completely that it's just a citta seeker that arises for an instant and gone completely.
Did we get to all your points? Because you have not much chance. Did we finish all your points? Because you are so short while with us, unfortunately. We never know. So you may have some doubts about Satipatthana. Alberto?
Alberto, you may have some doubts about Satipatthana, or what is it, or what is sati or Satipatthana, or what is direct experience, anything like that is useful for us too. We may also die.
I think Nina means that she would like you to ask a question about Satipatthana.
Anything particular?
Don't be careless.
No, I mean Satipatthana, development of understanding. It can be now. No need to wait. It's this moment. Not being careless about akusala. Yeah. Because now, visible object, now there's seeing, hearing.
Yeah.
No need
to. That's what you say. Right, visible object now, and that's the trouble. That's me again, of course. Difficult. May I say it's difficult? But then I praise the Buddha, Ajahn always says, when I say it's difficult. What visible object really is not the people here around.
That's what I was telling Azita. You keep repeating that it's now, not till the end of our life, and it's still never now.
Means that it's so helpful to remember that even at this moment, actually, we think we're with our friends that we are so attached to, but actually, it's only visible object that's seen now. There aren't any people, there aren't any friends seen, and what is touched is only hardness or softness.
Yeah,
nothing special that is touched.
Like
and it's only thinking that thinks about the people in this room, the people around the table.
Very important.
Just a moment of thinking, and then it's completely gone. Yeah. So nothing of value at all in life.
Yeah.
Only if there are moments of understanding. But what the, like I said, we so influence our mind so much about pleasant feeling, but it doesn't last an instant. Mm-hmm. The visible object doesn't last. It's just here or there or in Holland. Just visible object that doesn't last. Yeah. Sound that doesn't last. Just the same, no matter where or when.
Yes.
And it just lasts for an instant.
Yes.
So the world gets smaller and smaller, closer and closer to just what appears now, just one cheetah at a time.
Yes. Like Ajahn always says to us, there is no one there. But we find when we hear that, we find it a point we didn't get yet, really.
It's just a reminder that even now, it's only sound heard and then gone. Yeah. So this is wise considering. This is what leads to Satipatthana, to the development of understanding, to the development of the path. So even at a moment, if there's wise considering, it's enough. One doesn't need to think about it's so little or it's not so clear or anything else, because at that moment, for an instant, it's clear. It is just sound heard. It is just visible objects seen. And when there's doubt, it's just doubt. Just another passing Dhamma, not of any consequence. Begin again and again.
And I think we can understand that moment of seeing, there's just visible object, and the idea of people and things follows after. So we don't need to tell ourselves no one there, no one there, because that's not the reality of the situation for us. That is trying to see something that we're not capable of actually experiencing. But what we can experience is what is there. And what is there can be understood as it is. I think that's the important point, because what is not there, that can't be understood.
I think also you can say that when someone says there's no one there, it means Dhamma is there.
No one there, but the Dhamma is there. Yeah?